It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in Austin, Texas. While we've been here in the Texas Capitol, we've been talking and thinking a lot about business. Startups are launching here at South by Southwest. Brands are trying to make their mark and get a return on investment while paying for house parties, barbecue, and exposure. And while South by does often feel like one big party, important meetings are happening in back rooms and on stages. Twitter launched here 8 years ago. Today, it's a $30 billion company. But this festival is also about culture, about movements big and small. Alison Bechtel, a cartoonist who has written and drawn beautiful memoirs about her family and the experience of being a gay woman in a mostly straight world, won a MacArthur Genius Grant in 2014 for her work. She's known for creating the Bechtel test, which says gender bias in works of fiction can be measured by whether at least two women have a conversation about something other than men. Her graphic novels are interesting for their social, political, and visual perspectives. Part of her style comes from her process, which often starts on the computer screen and ends up on the page. I talked to Bechtel in the hallway of the Austin Convention Center's top floor. Alison Bechtel, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, sure. Hi.
I want to ask you about record keeping. This is something you've done since you were a kid, diaries, pictures, stuff like that. It's informed your work. How do you keep records now?
A lot of my record keeping is now digital. You know, I've got email and photos, and I keep my diary on my computer. But somehow that doesn't make it any easier to find anything. I thought it would.
Do you have a folder that says diary?
I do.
Do you really?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, my archives are just proliferating. The older I get, like, the more stuff there is. It's sort of like my aging brain, you know, it gets harder to find stuff.
Do memoirs matter in a world where Facebook kind of summarizes your year for you every year?
Well, yeah, you can't reflect meaningfully on something that you're posting in, you know, half a second. I think memoir is still really an important act.
I want to ask about your process a little bit. How has technology changed the cartoonist's job since you've started?
Oh, man. It has changed it on every level profoundly. I mean, I started way before the internet, way before Photoshop, when I drew stuff by hand and you copied it at the copy shop and put it in the mail. I think the most profound shift for me has been Google image search. You used to have to, if you wanted to find out what a 1968 Oldsmobile looked like, you had to go to the picture file at the library where someone hopefully had clipped out a photo of that car. Now that I can draw anything in the universe, my tendency is to sort of want to draw everything in the universe, which is its own sort of problem, but I'm working on that.
Do you get more sleep now that you're a MacArthur genius, or did you get more sleep before?
I definitely got more sleep before. It's a very nerve-wracking experience. I'm still adjusting to it. But it's really making me feel like I better up my game.
What are your plans for upping your game?
I don't know. I'm just working. I'm trying to work harder.
This is something I think you're probably very bored of talking about, but I wanted to ask you about the Bechtel
test.
Yes, yes.
This is my great legacy.
How do you feel about that?
At first, I was sort of bewildered by it and didn't feel like it was really mine. It was an idea I stole from someone else who probably stole it from Virginia Woolf. But now I'm very proud of it. I feel like it reflects the idea that a woman can be a human, a fully human character and subject.
You may have heard that there's a diversity problem in the tech industry.
Oh, really?
I know this may come as a shock to you, but I wanted to ask you if you would consider what a Bechtel test might be for a company.
Are there more than two women in managing positions?
We would hope so.
Do they talk to each other? I don't know. But it's a good template that you can apply to any number of fields.
I think we're at a good moment, actually, right now, that in the tech industry, but also in the media, we're becoming more aware of white male hegemony. How do straight white men help to create a society where there's more power sharing with people outside of their group?
You know, the fact that we're even able to see this, that people are aware of it, is because that hegemony is not as hegemonic as it once was. The demographics of this country are really changing. And I guess just to examine your privilege. It's very hard to see what is privilege. We all want to believe that we deserve everything we have, and we don't all have the same chances. So just looking carefully at that, I think, is the most anyone can do.
So we're asking people while we're here about their pitch.
Yeah, I'm on a panel about storytelling, and I want to talk about what makes a story good. Not just a compelling story, but what makes a story that works for the forces of good.
What's a story that works for the forces of evil?
Most things. Advertising, propaganda. I think it's important for any kind of story, especially journalism or nonfiction storytelling, to allow for its own possibility of being wrong.
Alison Bechtel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The song you were just hearing is Try Me Out by Bronco. That's another band performing here at South By's Music Festival. Speaking of music, my father is a jazz pianist. In my living room growing up, the TV was usually off, and the piece of technology being used the most was our Baldwin Baby Grand Piano. One of the really interesting cultural ideas here in Austin this week is the Sync Project. It's a collaboration between a number of academics and a Boston startup firm called PureTech. At the Sync Project, researchers are building a platform for the study of physiological effects that a song has on a person. This platform will help look at real-time biometric data. Is there a headpiece involved? Of course there is. We sent Marketplace Digital producer Tobin Lowe to put one on and kick out the jams.
My name is Alexis Kopikas. I'm the CEO of the Sync Project. Right? Each one of us knows that we all respond to music, right? Not just emotionally, but biologically. And what we're trying to do at the Sync Project is understand what is it that music does to the human body and how can we harness that to improve health.
I'm Kate Kikranam. I'm the co-founder and the head of science innovation of the Sync Project.
Okay, so I'm putting on that. So where does this go?
It looks like a halo, right? It's a EEG device, so it tracks your brain waves. And what we're going to do is, based on your brainwave data, we are going to calculate your focus level.
Oh, wow.
So let's hook you up.
Oh, great song.
So this is your brain from Queen.
Make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man.
So what would you guys say to somebody who would be worried that this kind of knowledge could lead to something like, we know that if you listen to this Queen song, you're more likely to buy X?
Like any other technology, you're going to have the application of it for good and the application of it for optimizing your behavior. The opportunity for us is to selectively partner with the people that share our mission to be able to really affect health, because that's where we see the need.
Alexis Kopikas of the Sync Project there. A lot more of our Austin adventures are on Instagram at MarketplaceAPM. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.